It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? A vaccine incentive program I can get behind. At 1:30, the NBA playoffs are having some people question the Greeks' freakiness in the postseason. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Absolutely, hour number two on a Tuesday. We know where the Longhorns, we already knew where the Longhorns were going to play in the Super Regionals, but now we know who and we know when. South Florida got by South Alabama last night. That means it's going to be the Longhorns and the Bulls. Saturday at 8, going to need to wait a little while. They'll play a lot of Super Regional games before they get around to Texas. But Texas and South Florida, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 8, and then if needed, it's Monday at either 3 or 6. If you're planning to go to the dish, that's great news weather-wise because the high is like 94, 95 those 2 days. So that could be really good news for you there. And I'm assuming the dish will be pretty fired up by that point. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and bring in the man himself. He does it every Tuesday. We appreciate it. It's Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com. He's a part of the Hot Pie Media Group. Check out their YouTube page. It's live each weekday. How are you, sir?
Hey there.
First off, I'd like to apologize to
you.
I feel like each week when you come in here, yeah, I have not prepared the room enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're always running around looking for headphones. I apologize for that. I should be better at grabbing you a pair of headphones. I don't know why I don't do that.
Maybe you guys should actually buy some headphones first.
Now, that's a whole
and then,
other...
like, screw some things in and get some plugs fixed and have Trey change some light bulbs and, you know, just maybe pay the bills.
It's really a three...
Maybe.
It's really a,
or maybe not.
Maybe.
It's a three-pronged problem. Part of it is yours and my laziness, Chad.
That's
part of it is the radio station not having adequate equipment.
Yeah.
And part of it is straight-up thievery, because if you do have something nice in a radio station, it inevitably gets stolen.
I don't think radio stations follow any sort of normal business protocols nor laws. I don't think sexual harassment applies. Petty theft doesn't apply.
Definitely petty theft.
Harassment doesn't apply. I mean, I remember the days stepping over people with needles in their arms. It didn't matter. Dudes dropping trowel. If you at a radio station, if you ever make the mistake of thinking, you know, I'm going to bring my lunch today or I'm going to bring something from the house, it's gone in no time. You could put a tire on the ground at a radio station and people would just be eating on it later in the day. Put a crack pipe in the corner, it's gone.
We'll just call it Rudy's Breakfast Tacos.
Yeah, there's no standards that apply. I understand that fully.
That's what's tough.
And I miss it. I kind of miss walking back in. I miss the grittiness of the radio days when nothing works and everyone's a mess.
And
drunk, high, whatever,
it
is, right?
So I just want to apologize to you at the beginning. You're nice enough to come in here, and then
Trey's laughing because he knows what I'm saying is all true.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You know, it's a weird, filthy world that we live in.
Yeah,
it is.
I've never been, and I've had other lives, and I've had other fields that I've worked in. I don't think I've ever been anywhere where, how do I put this politely, where sexual harassment doesn't apply.
Mm.
I mean, it's, you're lucky if somebody's not naked walking down the hall.
I wish that weren't true.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Really, I know it's a horrible thing. It's
wish that it weren't true.
You get this thick skin that no other industry can tolerate.
I have also said through the years, there are only two jobs I can think of where it is perfectly acceptable for you to be drinking alcohol if the job isn't specifically drinking alcohol.
Right.
And those two jobs are working in radio and being a DJ at a strip club.
Well, that's how half the sexual harassment is explained away. Oh, it's just a bit. It's just an on-air bit.
Right.
Maybe anyone who works in the strip
club. I thought strip club DJing is where we go to die, man. You act like it's not tied into the job itself. Is that where we go to die? I used to think an infomercial is where I'm going to die, but I've already passed that, so it's strip club next. Put your hands together for...
The two are cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the two are cousins.
They all come in shifts.
They definitely are. All right, so Jeff Ward hanging out with us as he does every Tuesday.
The 12-team playoff is...
Yes.
Are you really debating this? Is there a debate on the 12-team playoff?
Well, you know, there's a discussion about... Some people have different things. What's your thought on it? Where are you?
Well, why not? I mean, just start there. Well, what's the argument against 12 or 16 or 32? What is the argument against?
The only argument I hear... I feel like the consistent argument against it would be this idea... I'm going to try to say this straight-faced.
Sure.
Because I don't buy a bit of it. The idea that you would be watering down the regular season.
Okay. Did you throw up then?
So,
That's almost as dumb as the student athletes.
So I would maybe argue against the 32-team playoff, because at that point you do start allowing more of a mediocre element in.
Right. Well, it depends on what we're talking about, the 12-team college playoff.
Yes.
Okay. It depends on what your real measurement is. I think the NFL has proven more football is better. More you give us, the more we're going to watch. So I don't. That's all that matters to me, is that just give us more football. And if we don't watch it, then give us less football. But until then, give us more football. And I think the college game rule-wise, the game itself is a mess. I think it's a dumpster fire. I think there's so many rules in college football that need to be fixed. As it tries to pretend it's not the NFL, it needs to be more like the NFL. The NFL has proven, you give us more games. I don't care if they're 8-8. We'll still watch.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still watch. And the thing is, with college football, what I think I disagree with is a team that goes... You know, a team that goes 12-4. No, a team that goes 10-5. Those five, if they're good games, we know that. We'll watch.
Right.
I mean, I'm fine with a 10-5 Auburn playing 12-0 Boise State. I get it.
One of the things.
Just because they've got more losses, I cannot believe college football again ends up in this ridiculous debate. When the fact of the matter is, give us more games on TV, and we will watch them.
Especially if they're games that matter.
If they're games that matter, exactly.
The games we care about.
Exactly.
Not more Alabama plays Western Carolina.
I mean, the NFL wild card has taught us. You know, common sense would say, well, that wild card team's got no choice. That's BS. We watch every time. We gobble it up.
And we've seen wild card teams win it all.
And I think a playoff, a bigger playoff, knowing that you're not in huge danger. Right now, in the world of college football, the haves and the have-nots, you know if you're a big name, it's built in to not necessarily run any risks during the regular season. You don't want to run risk. If you know you're going to be in the playoffs, then you're going to build up, just like college basketball, you're going to build up to the playoffs. I believe it would incentivize you to play a tougher schedule.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's good for us. College football gets it wrong. College football is about the coaches and the ADs, and they suck. It should be about the person watching on TV. All they should do, like the NFL cares about what? Us, the people watching. That's all it's built for. College football needs to act like that. Forget the coaches. Forget the ADs. I don't care what they like or don't like. I matter. Give me my TV show.
Right.
That's what they should think, but they think in reverse. That's why the rules of college football are so stupid. The overtime, the interference, the knee not being down, you know, all that stuff. Well, it's built for coaches and ADs.
And it starts with just keeping the clock moving.
Oh, God, I know. It's improved, but it's still idiotic. It's idiotic.
So one of the things that I love about this idea...
Was 32 is bad for what reason, Trey?
32, I think you start allowing a little bit too much mediocrity into the postseason.
Okay, I know that I disagree, but I'd still say so.
Well, see, 12 is... I'm freaking out about this 12 number just because all I've been asking for is at least five. You have five power fives.
And you have good reason. I mean, you guys...
I like the six idea just because you could, you know, you could factor in a great season by Notre Dame, five champions, whatever. But the idea of 12, like you're going twice that six number, I think that covers so many different ideas. You could throw in a group of five if you want.
Sure.
And finally say back to those UCF people, why don't y'all just shut up? You're going to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go play the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your damn We Want Bama signs down and let's go.
But they do have a right to complain. I mean, I think they have. I don't know if they have a right. I think they might still get their teeth kicked in. But I don't blame them for saying, well, this is a screwed up system. I'm fine with it. I don't know why there's not more of... I do know why, because coaches matter and ADs matter more than the viewer. I don't know why the networks are saying, you know what you're going to do? We're going to throw the door open. We're going to give them more football. And you're going to shut up and you're going to take it. And you're going to play when we tell you to, because I'm paying you. And you know what? Your ratings suck. So shut up and play.
Are you a little surprised that they are going to have a discussion in July, which could lead to a finalized plan this fall? Are you a little shocked that this fall?
No, I'm not, because this is the same industry that couldn't figure out what it's playing or when it's playing during COVID. Right. No, they don't know what they're doing. It's horribly managed. The NFL is brilliantly managed. College sports, the college sports industry is like your neighborhood association, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody knows what a nightmare that is. That's your dumb dude down the street who gets in your face all the time. The neighborhood association is, because they pay their dues, they govern themselves. And so they don't really have a good leading voice or two. They don't have, because it's bureaucrats from the college world, they're not very good TV people. They're not marketing experts. So they're screwed up from day one, and they're in this incestuous world of being in their own neighborhood association. The NFL has got it just right. The networks write giant checks. The platforms write giant checks. We do what we can to keep the checks coming. College sports thinks in terms of, let's make the bureaucracy happy and comfortable and meet a lot. Anyone who meets is a loser. Meet less. Do more, meet less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they do all these bureaucratic meetings. And they it'll take, I don't know, who knows what comes out of July. If it comes out of July that they think we should play 12 teams, they'll just make it up as they go. And I think the game, I don't like the college game anymore. I don't think it's very good. I think it's very marketable. The game itself makes your face hurt.
Yeah, but see,
not only does it take so long, it doesn't flow. I mean, I can watch a four-hour football game that flows. I can't watch a five-hour football game that doesn't flow. And it doesn't flow because of timeouts, replays, halftime shows, knee down, overtime. It just, the game's not moving because we've been trained on the NFL, and the NFL is so masterful in how that game flows. They get plenty of snaps in, you get plenty of action in, and you're out in 3 hours.
See, I think college and pro football fans are going to watch it no matter how long it goes.
Okay. Well, then give more games. Give more playoff games.
Yeah.
Why not? Just give more.
More games, and give me more Auburn and Oregon in non-conference.
Yes.
And less Auburn and Chattanooga.
Yeah. Right. I mean, do you agree that it might incentivize you? If you are, let's take Oregon, for example. Oregon is it's a really good team that feels like it's knocking on that door. You know, mm-hmm. It's I think they know they're sort of among the cream of the crop, but they're not getting the attention they want. So Auburn is one of those programs that says, you know, we need to reach out. We need to play some bigger games. We need to go play the South. We need to line up with Auburn. We need to do that because we need it. And when we do it, we're not running a huge risk of getting knocked out of the playoffs. Right now, you lose once or twice and your name is Oregon, you're screwed.
Right, exactly.
You're just screwed. The season is over.
Yeah, two losses means you're out. And those two are a great example because Auburn knows every year they could lose to Bama.
Yeah.
Oregon knows every year they could lose to, what would it be, Washington, let's say. And then you still have that opportunity.
Right.
And plus, the biggest incentive is win your conference championship and
it's like the college basketball playoffs. You're playing to be the best you can be come playoff time.
Right.
And that's cool. And I want Oregon to want that. I want to see two-loss Oregon, who I know has played the socks off of Auburn in Dallas, for example. I want to see them. I don't want to see USF. I mean, I don't mind seeing USFL at 12-0, but don't take Oregon away from me.
Yeah.
And right now the system is it takes away pretty good viewing, I think.
And by the way,
and I don't think they care. I just don't think these pinheads that run college sports understand that.
It feels like they're finally getting to that discussion, especially if all they're coming up with is 12 teams. That's what fascinates me here.
Yeah,
12
yeah, yeah.
is
yeah,
coming up
and it's random.
At the top. Why wouldn't they have ended up at 8 or 10
know.
Or 6?
I don't know.
Why is 12 their number?
Because that person showed up at the breakout session at the Hyatt.
Right.
They got a name tag. Who's here today? Well, we're going to roll call. Okay, okay, you're in. Playoff settled.
Because Jack Swarbrick showed up and said
12? Yeah, they have to have a bagels at 9:30. See, take a nap at noon.
See, I think with 12, like, there's no need to guarantee a group of five slot at that point because they're not in the top 12, they don't belong in the postseason, right?
Now, that's an interesting point. One of our listeners responded with, wait a minute, Trey, couldn't a team outside of the top 12 make a conference title game? Theoretically, ACC Coastal team gets in that's not top 12, and if they won the game, they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right?
That's the big dogs versus the little dogs there.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And if they're going to, I think that's the reason why this 12 maybe ends up being an idea they like, because it covers all their bases.
Yeah.
You walked in, the first thing out of your mouth was, what's the argument against this?
Yeah, I mean, there is none.
And so
there is none.
You got to have an idea that the big dogs sit down and nod, and then the kind of mid-sized dog nods.
What's your neighborhood association?
Yeah. Well, and the most important
the guy with
a
bad lawn. Could you get the guy with the bad lawn over here, please? Got to talk to him.
Yeah.
Guy never trims his hedges.
This
appeals,
yeah, right. This appeal, it appeals to everybody because it appeals to the Big 12 and the Pac-12 because they get ignored sometimes. It'll get their champion in for sure. It appeals to, say, the SEC and the Big 10 because if you have three or four really good teams, they all have a chance to get in.
Right.
with a lot of at-large bids, and it appeals to the little guy if you let in a group of five.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a game that still has the most idiotic interference policy I can imagine. Go ahead and chop the guy's head off, and you pay no price. It has the knee-down stupid policy. It has the way it runs the clock stupid policy. It has what I think is the most asinine overtime policies or not policies. You can't even figure them out anymore. Except
well, you
it's
are
turned
anti-college overtime, aren't you?
I really am. I despise
not a fan.
It. Yeah, I despise it. It's turned the football into a fourth of a game.
You prefer
it doesn't prove anything.
The NFL model's better for you?
It's worth, you know, at least in soccer, your argument is, look, penalty kicks is a terrible way to decide it, but you have to decide it sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to decide it, you've done the, in effect, you've turned it into penalty kicks. I think it's awful. I think there's so much wrong with college football.
Did you just have an argument that started with at least in soccer? See, that's where you lose me.
Yeah,
at least in soccer,
yeah.
Comma. Nah, that's
fair
a tough.
Enough, yeah.
It's a tough.
Going nowhere fast with that
that's
one, right?
It's a tough spot to go.
Your eyes glazed over. You kinda
did he just say soccer?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I know. I should have noticed when the drool was coming out of your mouth.
Oh,
you weren't gonna. You weren't feeling the passion all of a sudden. You checked out of this argument as soon as I said soccer.
Yeah, I know.
So I do wonder if this whole thing is being accelerated because we are about to see NIL legislation kick in less than a month in a number of states around the country, Texas included. Of course, as a result, Jeff, we're starting to hear calls for student athletes unionizing once again. This is something that's been going on for around 10 years now, starting out with the Northwestern quarterback about a decade ago. What does that even look like for you, student athletes unionizing?
First of all, how'd that work out for Northwestern?
Not well.
It really took off, didn't it?
Yeah.
Changed
the program forever.
Yeah. Quarterback at Northwestern could pull it off. Nobody else would do it. Yeah, I mean, this has already made its way through the court system. I'll try not to bore Chad anymore, but there was a fascinating court case involving a guy who played at TCU. Some listener will know. I believe he played at TCU, was paralyzed in the mid-70s. Mm. He had trouble getting insurance benefits. He took on a court case or started to challenge the system, arguing that he was, in effect, an employee of the school. And they argued all the things that you have when you have a grant in aid and all the stipulations you have when you're a scholarship athlete. And they argued that was the same thing you would have, the same stipulations you would have if you were an employee. So they'd argued in the 70s that the athletes were, in effect, employees, ended up losing in the court system. Then you sort of fast forward to the Northwestern thing, which sounded good in theory. And I really thought this thing would get, I thought it would have legs based on the concussion settlements that mm-hmm. I think are one day coming, that's going to force the hand of all this, that sooner or later, those guys, you keep thinking they're going to get together and say, look, man, I may not make it in the NFL, but I tell you what, if I'm drooling at the age of 40, I need some help here. So I keep thinking the concussion issue will drive the unionization, and now then Bernie Sanders, if poor Bernie jumps in, I don't know, but Bernie's fishing for votes, you're not going to get him here. They're not going to vote. Pushing the unionization concept, which in theory sounds pretty good when you write them up as employees, but I'm telling you, the players won't do it, and the players aren't going to push it. The day that you want to change the business and the makeup of college football is the day that the Texas and Oklahoma players walk down the tunnel, they walk out for the kickoff, and they sit down and say, we're not playing until we get X. Then you'll get a change. Mm. And they won't do it. They won't do it because this is it for them. This is the best internship 98% of those guys could ever have. And they view, if you're playing in Alabama, or you're playing at a football factory. Let's be clear about what we're talking about. We're not talking about the QB at Northwestern, who's right. In law school now, probably. We're talking about football factories where many of these guys think they're going to the NFL. And I think any one of us could appreciate, I can't risk my chance to get there by boycotting or having some cause or striking. I can't. That's my living. That's all I'm trying to do is get to that place to get that living. And I'm not going to risk it. I think that's why you won't see fundamental change in stuff like becoming an employee or getting paid. You know, what they threw out there about the states adopting, you know, where you get to sell your likeness, that came from one court case, but it also came from pinhead politicians thinking that this was some sort of righteous thing to do for the athletes. The athletes care far less than you realize. I wish they did, but they don't.
I think
the public does not understand the curtain that could be pulled back. If you pull that curtain back, you're not going to like what you see. You're not going to like it. These are not guys who want to go to college like everybody else, by and large. I'm not saying they're bad at all. I'm just saying they are in a system to churn them through, they think, to get to the NFL.
Yep. Some of them are right.
Some of them are right. Right.
It really,
the others are willing to take a shot.
Right. But you can, in that when you think of it in those terms, you could say, well, gosh, why aren't you guys getting more of what you want? And then if you were one of them and you somebody said to you, I got the internship of a lifetime. And without this, you know what happens? Get your butt back off this college campus and go back to wherever you're from.
Right.
And any one of us would say, I can't run that risk, man. I've got to play. Yeah. The only way you're ever going to get fundamental change, and Bernie Sanders may be well-intentioned. People listening right now may be well-intentioned. But until those players scare the life out of that $7 million a year coach, still going to be upside down.
A lot of people would be surprised at how players don't care play to play like a lot of them do watching in the stands or on television. Jeff, was there ever a kick that you went out there for that you were just pretty indifferent about?
I thought a kick or a Come day on. Or a week.
Come on, man.
A semester. You broke it down by kick?
Fair.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
You mean a date or a kick?
That is an individual kick is what you're asking.
Yeah, right? Individual kick. You just went out there and you're like, I don't care if I make this extra point or not.
Oh, golly. No.
I mean, can't put it
there
in that
There might
spot.
Probably be some muscle memory there that went on. How's that?
Okay.
You go. Come on. Can't be throwing that accusation.
No, it could have been a kick.
What were you going with that? I think he's implying that I threw a game.
No, I'm just it could have been say. A kick in preseason.
Preseason? When I have a preseason. Like a Saturday morning practice, you mean? Yes, I was indifferent. Absolutely. I didn't feel so hot some Saturday mornings, okay?
Oh, you went to a couple training camps, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could have been a preseason
kick.
No,
those, yeah, I guess.
If there's a,
I'm not comfortable with this line of questioning.
Yeah, there's going to be a story will pop up online later, and you're going to have to deal with it because of Trey. Yeah, that's just sad.
Oh, I know it's going to go viral. He fixed XYZ game.
So sad.
I'll get back to the non-sports stuff next week, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess
as well ask maybe. About the MAGA hats. Let's just go there instead of grilling me about drugs and throwing games and organized crime.
Yeah, you want to know why he asks you the non-sports questions? It's because that's the sports question.
Yeah, I was going to say the MAGA hat was coming next.
Ooh, speaking of.
MAGA hats.
Speaking of, getting into all sorts of conversations. Chad is on vacation next week. Will you hang out for the entire 1 o'clock hour next week, please?
Well, you mean to talk about MAGA hats all hour?
That's a dangerous question.
Just for like
Do
5 minutes.
Do what you want, Jeff Ward.
After you implied that I was throwing games
and
dealing drugs and committed crime.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever care if you killed someone in college? Did you ever care if, what kind of line?
And will you come in and sit extra next week?
Is that what you do to book authors right there? Did you care if you didn't pay your taxes? Did you care when you cheated on your wife?
That's how Drake gets all the big guests.
Is that how you, what are you, Leslie Stahl?
Sometimes it.
Yeah.
Brings about good answers.
Well, it didn't on that one.
I like the Leslie Stahl reference. I hope a lot of folks enjoyed the Leslie Stahl blast.
Do the Leslie Stahl memes on Trey all day.
That was
he deserves it at this point.
I would beg to differ. That was the best answer of the entire segment.
That was pretty damn good. That's Jeff
Ward. I'd rather hear your perverted stories than getting grilled.
I'll tell you a couple next Tuesday.
I thought you might. Okay.
He's on Twitter at Jeff Ward Show. Check out jeffwardshow.com. Appreciate it, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're on your own next week,
you bet.
Apparently.
Nope.
All right, that is Jeff Ward. Back next Tuesday. Who knows for how long?
Nope.
Up next, the NBA continues. Brooklyn and Phoenix looked pretty good last night. We'll tell you what Mr. Durant did on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
All right, Trey's going to tell you about the podcast. He's going all over the place with music as he does normally on these Tuesdays and Thursday shows. Is this Stevie Wonder?
No, it sounds like
Him.
Jamiroquai.
Oh, okay. All right.
Virtual insanity. Yes. It plays into the theme of today's new episode of Books on Pod. Check it out at booksonpod.com. The author is Kevin Roos. He is the technology columnist for the New York Times and the author of Future Proof, 9 Rules for Humans in the Age of Automation. Does it feel like that war with the machines is inevitable? It does for me. It does it for Kevin, though. He's what he calls a sub-optimist about AI and automation really taking over our lives. And he says we have the power in our hands to actually make that difference. You can hear why by listening at booksonpod.com or checking out his book, Future Proof. Chad?
So, Jamiroquai, was that the video with the...
Yes.
Yeah.
All you had to say is the video with...
The video with the, yeah.
And I think you know.
All of the treadmills. Yeah, that was incredible. All right, so we're going to get into some NBA stuff here. And then apparently I've got a new favorite NFL player. But last night was 2-0 Brooklyn. The final score was 125-86. Kevin Durant had 32 points, four boards, 6 assists. Trey, I told you and all the listeners at the beginning of the playoffs that Brooklyn's going to win it all. Just based on the idea that if all three of those guys are healthy, they'd won 5 out of 7 games this year. It's all I needed to know. It's only math I needed. But after watching these first 2 games of this series, wow. Harden hasn't played yet, and they are smashing Milwaukee.
How much of that is the Nets versus Milwaukee not being a team built to make deep postseason runs?
Oh, it's both. I think it's a heaping helping of both.
Okay.
The Nets are... The scary part about them is they've clearly got their 3 stars, but they're deep too.
Mm-hmm.
And with Milwaukee, I feel like they're just a bull in a china shop. They're like a smash-and-grab NBA team, and they really wouldn't be effective back in the day, 70s, 80s, 90s. You just couldn't play like that and really advance. But nowadays, because... The freak is not as freakish as his nickname, and he doesn't have a varied game. There's just not much. They don't have much to do. Kevin Durant can create anything he wants, anytime. The freak cannot create his own stuff, especially from outside. So I think they are trapped in a major way. I didn't like the matchup when I saw the series, but I thought, well, maybe it's close because Harden's not playing at the beginning. What would happen if Harden played? They'd win by 50?
Maybe.
I mean, they are destroying this team. And I would. The only question I might ask Milwaukee outside of why is P.J. Tucker still trying to guard Kevin Durant?
Because I guess, so bad for P.J. He's had to guard KD going back to college practices.
That is rough, man. But the other thing I'd ask is, why are you letting Antetokounmpo take a 3? He took 3 of them last night. 0 for 3. He's 29% for his career.
Thanks, Daryl Morey.
You can't waste possessions. You can't waste a moment when you're playing a team this good. That's insane.
Well, I agree.
I don't understand why he's doing it. And then Chris Middleton's the other problem. Shaq said it last night. When you have a 1-2 punch, you can't miss, ever. Mm-hmm. You can't have not miss a shot. You can't miss a night. You can't have a bad night. You can't have a game where both of those guys don't get to 20. It can't occur. And no. Chris Middleton will go cold on you. He was terrible in game 1 and wasn't much better. I think he was 0 for 8 to start last night.
I mean, that's the problem when you rely when a guy relies on his outside shot to score his points. There are going to be really hot stretches where that team is impossible to stop because he's shooting so well. But when it's like that, you're in big trouble when you don't have another decent secondary scorer.
One of their stars takes nothing but outside shots. One of their stars does nothing but drive the basket. And there's nothing in the middle.
No.
There's no real mid-range to that team.
No, because Drew Holiday is an okay offensive player. He's there for his defense, though. He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. You can only count on him for so much offensively.
Absolutely. Yeah, so they're sunk. I mean, they are in a bad, bad way.
Now, they could still come back and win the next 2 games and make it a series again, but who has faith in them winning 2-2? They could win 1-2.
Yeah. They may
2-2?
Yeah, because this is, and at least this series is starting in Brooklyn, so maybe by going home they get that split. But that is just, I mean, that is just rough. I'm just double checking this box score to make sure I was right about that. But yeah, Antetokounmpo had 18 and Middleton had 17.
Mm-hmm.
They're not winning a game if neither one of them gets to 20. I don't think they're winning a game if both don't get to 20, but specifically if neither gets there. That is crazy.
It's funny about Giannis because I've been hearing for a long time how good of a player he is. Obviously, the nickname speaks to just how freakish his athletic ability is for his size. And I understand and respect all of that, but the only time I've watched this guy has been in the postseason, so I've seen this version of him.
Yeah.
So it's amusing to me that this is like the cream of the crop in the NBA when clearly it's a night and day difference with the guy and how he plays in the regular season versus the postseason. That's obvious to me as somebody who's only watched postseason and heard the regular season hype and also seen the MVP award, too.
Right. There needs to be a lot of development in his game before he should have won an MVP, in my opinion. And I think Milwaukee's in trouble. Phoenix looked good last night and beat Denver. That's an interesting team, too, man. Phoenix looked really good in game one.
Defending his MVP award, though, I mean, he won the MVP in a year where he put up bonkers stats and his team had the best record
they
in
did.
The league.
You're right. You're right. No, they were the best in the league. They feel like they're a long way from that now, but we'll kind of see where they end up. Phoenix won last night. Atlanta trying to go up 2-0 tonight. If you haven't watched Trae Young's act, and it is Clippers, Utah in the West tonight. Trae, real quick before the break, I think my new favorite player in the NFL is A.J. Brown. Hmm. This story is wild, and I love it. So it's two parts now. A.J. Brown wears number 11 for Tennessee. He was part of bringing Julio Jones to town.
Hmm.
All right? So he helped to bring him in, so obviously he would be willing to give up the number. What's more, he offered the number. He went to Julio Jones, offered it up, called him up, whatever it was. Julio Jones turned him down, and he tweets out, number 11 till I retire. I tried to give it up, and he wouldn't take it. Respect. But then I read that he also considered a number change as he was thinking of this. He thought, well, if I give it up to Julio, I'll need a new number. What should I do? Maybe I'll wear number one. So he started researching the number one and his franchise, and he ran right into
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon. Then he did the research on Warren Moon and tweeted out, Warren Moon was about to, I was about to bother you and ask, is there any way I could wear one until I read your bio? And then he put a little confused face. I'm not even deserving, TBH. Thank you for everything you've done for the game. Legend, salute. So he put down the idea of taking number one. Now he'll wear 11, and because Julio said no and the NFL allows it, Julio's going to go back to his college number and wear 8 as a Tennessee Titan. A.J. Brown's my new favorite player.
Well, that makes me smile as a longtime Houston Oilers fan. Having said that, though, I feel like the Oilers and the Titans are two different franchises. I understand Bud Adams took the team from Houston to Nashville, but at the same time, if he wanted to wear number one, he shouldn't have to check with Warren Moon.
I get what you're saying. No, I get what you're saying. But the fact that he thought of it that way,
that's pretty cool, though.
Historically, that he actually considered all that?
Wait, Chad, the more this trade sinks in, the more I am starting to feel like Tennessee is a legit threat to win the Super Bowl next year.
Man, just good luck covering them. That's all I can say.
Yeah, good luck covering them when you're also having to accommodate for freaking Derrick Henry receiving the football.
That's what I'm
20
saying.
To 30 times a game.
This is all I'll say. Whatever you want to say about number 17 for that team, say it. It's been said. In the right moment, in the biggest situation, when Ryan Tannehill goes play action, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do if they've set up play action the right way? Heck, even if he hadn't run the ball yet. First and 10, first play of the game. If he puts that ball in Derrick Henry's gut, you have to respect it. And when he pulls it out, he's looking at A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, and Firkser.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. If they block for him, good luck dealing with Tennessee.
I'm more comfortable with him at quarterback than some are. And maybe that's because I've watched a fair amount of Tennessee over these last few years. I mean, he is, you talk about a tale of two different guys. He is a completely different guy from the person that was written off coming out of Miami. He just is.
Yeah, he's found that good Ryan Tannehill. He's found that. He had up and down at A&M. There was definitely up and down at Miami. It feels like it's leveled out now.
But what was the down? What did the down coincide with?
Adam Gase.
Adam
You're
freaking
right.
Gase.
Adam Gase. You're
made
right.
a second appearance on today's
it
show.
It is a point. All right, coming up, more points from Trae. It's where are we at in society? I'm excited about today's edition because apparently there's a vaccine incentive idea that Trae is actually in favor of. He'll tell you what it is coming up on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins. We'll be right back.
This song used to tell me a show was almost over. We're not quite there yet, though. What is this, Trey?
Yeah, this was an old Craig Way instrumental bed way back in the day, Chad. This is Paranoid Android by Radiohead, and we're playing it as part of our Shameless Podcast Promotion Tuesday. New episode of Books on Pod is with Kevin Roos. He is the technology columnist for the New York Times and the author of Future Proof, 9 Rules for Humans in the Age of Automation. You can check that conversation out at booksonpod.com.
Is this song on OK Computer?
It is.
All right, I got
you. Check that one out yet?
No, I haven't. I got to listen to that album. Got to listen to that album. All right, by the way, it's still happening, and it's not. It's usually a pop record, but my kid is coming to me now with, you got to listen to this album. Daddy, you got to listen to this album. We're going to listen to this album together.
That's cool.
She doesn't even say song. I will tell her occasionally, hey, listen to this song, check this song out. She's coming to me with the full album idea.
That makes me happy that the younger generation that music is really made for more than anybody else is still appreciating the full album concept.
Yep, it's good. Now,
what is the most recent album she came to you with?
So the last one would have been this Olivia Rodrigo album.
Who was recently on SNL. I think she's like 17 or 18 years old, right?
She is young. She is talented. There's a little, you hear a little, it's almost like a nicer, almost like Billie Eilish in the Sunlight kind of vibe. She does a little bit of that styled singing. She'll remind you a little bit of Taylor Swift here and there. Some of that, just some good songwriting, good pop songwriting for her. And much like Taylor, it feels like she's just writing all about like breakups and relationships and really getting all those feelings out. And kids love that. So my kid's 14. She's digging all that feeling coming out of the songs. So I like the fact that she's getting into albums. OK Computer is one that I definitely have to check out from back in the day. And definitely check out those great podcasts from Trey. If you missed Chris Bosch last week, we had that up at hornfm.com. That was a great conversation. And I'm sure the one this week is good, too, talking about that book, Future Proof. All right. So now let's get into this Where Are We At in Society, because apparently Trey's actually happy about a vaccine story. Come on.
Where are we at in society today?
I'm so pumped here.
A rarity. So, Chad, we've seen examples across the country of governments incentivizing people to get vaccines by either offering up something free or offering the remote possibility of something really cool, like a lottery.
Yep.
Ohio did a lottery. Washington State has done a lottery. I think a couple of other states have offered up that lottery. We had the example, I think, on this segment of Alabama giving people a chance to do 2 laps at Talladega if they got a vaccine.
By the way, bravo to Alabama. I never heard a crazy story come out of that. They apparently got that done.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Nobody wrecked. Nobody smashed into the wall. I never heard a weird story coming out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Good for them.
Humans acting less like animals and more like humans.
How about that?
What a novel concept, especially in the Southeast. So I finally found an example that if I lived there might entice me to go get the vaccine.
All right.
You don't know. I don't have the vaccine. Yes. Yell at your radio right now. I did have COVID, and the research, while it's not highly publicized, still shows that if you had COVID, you were as good as vaccinated. So take that for what you will. But if I was in Washington State, Chad, I would maybe go get the vaccine now because that state is now giving away weed for people who get vaccinated.
Really?
They call the program Joints for Jabs.
I like it. It's good.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. There are state-licensed cannabis retailers who have been asking the government, look, let us give away a little bit of product to help you get people vaccinated. And the government has finally given the okay. The state's Liquor and Cannabis Board this week said it will allow cannabis retailers that are state-licensed to provide one joint to adult consumers who receive COVID-19 vaccinations at an in-store vaccination clinic.
Just one? That's not worth like a pack?
One is okay. One is good.
One's okay?
I mean, one is not, it's not a great bribe. Like, it's not a huge monetary bribe, but it's something.
Give me an acceptable grouping.
And also, when you're taking into account, like, the caliber of bud in states where it's legal, just how powerful it can be.
Oh.
And maybe you have the choice of indica or sativa, or maybe you're going with a little bit of a hybrid. Perhaps you want a little bit of a CBD blend in there, too.
Okay.
So hopefully all of those things are taken into consideration. So the state has actually just reached its goal of vaccinating 70% of state adults.
Nice.
which allows them to eliminate most of the remaining coronavirus-driven restrictions across the state, but they want that number to go even higher.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason. That's the biggest reason that I'd be thinking about it and trying to incentivize any way I can. That's, and we've been talking about that in sports, too. Just to get all those protocols out of your way would be fantastic. So what's an acceptable grouping of joints? Like, it's six-pack of beer. What is it? What, is it too much to ask for, like, three joints?
Let's see. The last time
for
I was
a vaccine?
The last time I would have been someplace where it was legal to buy weed, I'm pretty sure it was in San Francisco a couple years ago.
God love you.
And I did, yeah. It was smoke weed and avoid the human excrement all over the streets.
Ghirardelli and a joint.
But that's right. We were actually, no, we weren't staying in Ghirardelli Square that time. But I think, I want to say it was like four or five joints in like a package. It
there
didn't come like packaged up like cigarettes. It was more like in this like hard plastic bag.
That's what I would expect. Give me a grouping and I would consider the vaccine if I'm in Washington State and I'm into the pot.
Yeah, so joints for jabs. It takes effect immediately and goes all the way through January 12th.
Oh, nice.
Others are calling the plan poke and toke. Which I kind of like a little bit
that's
better.
That's good. The old poke and toke. I like that one a lot. By the way, back up a second. Did you say that the state of Washington, where it's legal for personal use right throughout the state, did you say they have an alcohol and cannabis board?
Yeah.
For the state?
Yeah.
That's glorious.
It's like the TABC.
Now we only need 49 of those. Do we have 49 more of those around? Can every state have one of those, please?
I'm sure the states that have legalized cannabis have something along those lines.
That is so great to hear. Just that phrasing sounded good to me. A liquor and cannabis board. That's great. There you go.
So apparently it's not the best weed option offered up by a state that's trying to get its people vaccinated, though.
I would hope Colorado.
No, Arizona.
Oh, go ahead, Arizona.
Which is offering a pre-rolled joint and an edible cannabis gummy.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Just up the offer.
Let's go. Exactly. If I'm in Colorado, I go to one of these badass Denver dispensaries and we put a package together. Here at the station, we're putting together like a Father's Day package for people to win some cool. Give me a package of stuff if I get the vaccine. Give me edibles, gummies, brownies, cookies, joints. Give me the whole, you know, the whole array. That's what I'd want.
It's true. And you know, the poke and toke, they actually couldn't use poke and toke in Arizona because Sheriff Joe Arpaio was already running a program that was referred to as such.
I could feel that one coming. That was good. Well done. Well done. We finally found a vaccine incentive program that Trey is a part of. So now, state of Texas, are you listening? This is the best reason I've heard for legalizing marijuana in the state of Texas. If you legalize it and then offer it to Trey Elling, he might go get the vaccine. Come on!
Or I'll just pay my guy a visit.
Will you let me dream? Will you let me dream, please? Coming up, it's your 2 o'clock hour. Speaking of let me dream and Trey dream and let many of you out there dream. If you love college football, they're having discussions. There's some big ones coming up, and they're thinking about expanding the playoff. Wait till you hear about the idea that is apparently the most popular. Trust me. Don't move. It's the horn.